Attention, freelancers and solopreneurs. You are tuning into The Remote CEO, a show that will help you scale your business, become the authority in your market, grow into a better leader, and create your remote empire. And now, your host, acclaimed business coach and entrepreneur, Deniero B.
What's going on, CEOs? This is Deniero B, and you are listening to the Saturday interview episode of the Remote CEO Show. I always make sure to have the most interesting guests and ask them practical and actionable questions so that you can take that knowledge and scale your business with it. So if you do enjoy this podcast, I would love for you to leave a review on your podcast app. It only takes a couple of minutes and it will make a big difference. Now don't forget that we do release the 5-minute episodes every single day at around 6 a.m. Eastern time. So subscribe to the show and you will get bite-sized actionable content delivered for free to your device. Also, share this podcast with other fellow entrepreneurs, freelancers, and solopreneurs. You're on the rise, so it only makes sense that you share this journey with like-minded people. And don't forget that the more you talk about these topics with other people, the more you will understand them and make them part of your everyday life. And now, let's get started.
What is going on, CEOs? Deniero B here with another episode of the Remote CEO Show. Today, I'm here with Veronica Segastumi. Veronica is a business strategist, CFO consultant with over 20 years of corporate experience in accounting, finance, and operations. Veronica first discovered her love for consulting while working with CEOs at startup and emerging growth companies in the Bay Area and Silicon Valley. In 2011, Veronica made the bold decision to leave her CFO/CEO position to launch her own consulting practice. Today, Veronica uses her business, BizFit Coaching Inc., to teach aspiring consultants. She's an avid learner and loves working out new entrepreneurial ideas with her mentors, including Amy Porterfield, Pat Flynn, and many others. I can't wait to get into the questions. So, Veronica, how are you doing today?
Hey, Deniero. Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. Again, thank you very much for being on the show today. Now, before we dive into the questions, can you tell us a bit more about yourself and how you got even started as a CFO? What brought you to business?
Great question. You know, it takes me back because everybody asks a different question about my journey, but what got me started hasn't been asked for a really long time. So thank you for asking that. Basically, the field of accounting wasn't like the path, you know, it wasn't like the first choice, but I found myself being really drawn to numbers. They were really easy for me to grasp, and the whole concept of accounting, finance, and operations was something that was exciting, easy, especially with startup companies, since I'm here in the Silicon Valley. So I really accelerated that. I've always been ambitious. So I accelerated that path of always volunteering for the conversions, for the system integration, for the automation, whatever that meant, I raised my hand. I wanted to be part of that. And that led me down the journey of just quickly rising up through whatever companies I was with to achieve, whether it was accounting manager, controller, chief operating officer, chief financial officer. It's a lot of years in between those titles, but definitely I gained a lot of experience and skills that I could put into my toolbox, is what I call it. So that's what got me started. It was an easy choice for me to go in that career because I loved numbers, but I also loved systems. So it was a really great merger integration.
Very interesting. And so how long was your CFO career? Like when you started to when you really quit your career, that part of your career, how long was that?
So I held that position, a combination of chief operating officer and chief financial officer, for a combination of probably maybe 10 years between those two titles in different companies. And also then that's what kind of pulled in my consulting experience. We can talk about that too. But having that culmination of, you know, you start from the ground up and you achieve these different levels, and all along you're accumulating the skills, the experience. And if you've been there and done that, that's an even greater asset for you later, right? Because you know, you understand what it takes to get things done, and you're a lot better prepared to be able to assess and give advice later on.
100%. And listen, I'm assuming that at a certain point in your career, you realized that something needed to change, I guess. So what are the signs that indicate that you're ready to quit your 9-to-5 and become a consultant or open your own business?
You know, I think that everybody has different seasons in their lives. And what leads to making a bold decision of like leaving your corporate life behind could be whether it's starting a family, wanting to be more remote and, you know, travel the world. Or in my case, it was the event that my grandmother broke her ankle. And my grandmother raised me, and that is something that I wanted to be part of her recovery. I wanted to be there for her for the appointments, and we were always very, very close. So I knew that I could get her to do things faster than the physical therapist could. Plus, I needed to translate because she spoke mostly Spanish. And I found myself holding an executive position where I was responsible for so many people, so many different milestones and deadlines and project completion. But I also had my grandmother who needed me at a time when she mostly needed our family to be around her. And I found myself in a place where I wasn't showing up as the best version of myself for anybody. When I was at work, I was thinking about her. When I was with her, I was guilt-ridden about work. And then I would go home to my own family and I was depleted, and they were getting like the worst version of me because there was no energy. There was no... there was just no bandwidth left for anybody. And it is also myself, my health, and my energy, my focus, everything was suffering. And there came that pivotal point of me thinking, I don't want to have the regret of not being there for the woman that raised me, for the person that's responsible for me being the woman that I am. And I don't want to have that regret of having chosen my career and work over being there with her. So pivotal decision. Not everybody can make it, but when I making the decision is one thing, preparing to actually make the move is another. So there was about 6 to 7 months of planning in between making the decision and leaving.
For sure. This is very eye opening. And, you know, I didn't personally have a family member that had a medical emergency. But at the same time, I remember that feeling of wanting to quit because I had the same problems. Like, I wasn't being the best version of myself. But there's something that happens when you open a business. At the very beginning, everybody's super excited. You want to conquer the world. And then you realize that you got to deal with getting new clients and really filling up your pipeline. So a lot of my listeners already have a business, but they may be struggling to get clients at times. So how do you find your first clients, or at least a few clients from inside your network, without having to bug your friends and tell them, hey, sign up, even though they don't need your services?
I love this question because this is one of the core things that I teach my own clients and my audience as well. It's your first or next consulting client, or, you know, just client, is in the context of your network. And a lot of times we just focus on getting new people, new audience, new clients. But a lot of times we don't think back to who is already in our realm of network, whether it's in the last couple of years or 3, 4, 5 years. Who did we work with? Who did we meet at a conference? Who did we hit it off with that we may have neglected, you know, keeping in touch with? And so a lot of times I ask the person, go back and accumulate all of your contacts, your professional contacts, not your friends and family, but people that you worked with, people that maybe you volunteered with, or you were part of hosting an event or attended that conference, like I said, and start making that list of contacts and then prioritize it. Prioritize it between that professional first or professional second. What does that mean? It means that the first list of professional contacts that you accumulate, even if you haven't talked to that person 5, 6, 7 years ago, just make that list, prioritize it. Do they work with you? Do they know what your work ethic is like? Do they know you because they work with you personally alongside of you or part of a team that made something happen? Those people are going to be the people that will be able to speak to your talent, to your skill set, to your experience. And so by having that, that list, and you prioritize it, now you've identified people that you can reach out to. And there is what we call nurturing your contacts. You don't go selling them. We know that doesn't work, right? That first email, you haven't heard from anybody from that person for 5 years. For sure. And all of a sudden it's like, hey, do you know of anybody who needs an SEO expert? Send him my way. And you're like, What? You've just given me homework as a contact. Yes. You send me an email like that. You've just given me a ton of homework. So I say to them, develop like a 6 email sequence where the very first three, the first one is just sort of like, how are you? Especially right now, we're in the midst of a pandemic of staying at home, lots of different things, a lot of changes. Why not just reach out with a simple, hey, it's been a while. How's it going? I was thinking of you the other day. Genuinely send that, you know, out of those, that list of contacts that you just made and prioritizing the top 10, 15, 20 that you think may be a good lead down the line. It takes effort, but you're sitting in your, at your desk and maybe your home office, send out those emails once a week. The first one is the catch up. The second one would be the bridge gap. What was the thing that you guys had in common? Did you work at the same company? Yes. Did you meet at that conference? Did you, were you hosting that event? Whatever it is, remind them of how you guys met so that you can bridge the gap between that cold catch-up email and now reminding them of where was the relationship initiated or, you know, whatever it is. And then you go and start providing value by sharing just like an article, a tool that you're loving, a system that you're automating. You know, we all love automation. I know you do too.
So, exactly, for sure.
But all, you're not selling during these emails. You're just reigniting that relationship that you neglected. But those people, you want to be top of mind. And the way that you're top of mind is by reconnecting and building that relationship. Now, the next three emails could be a soft sell where you're telling them what you're up to. That's it. The fourth email could be inviting them to a quick, no obligation, 20-minute free consultation call. I'd love to tell you more about what I'm working on and see if it's a good fit for you or someone that you may know. Now you're not doing you're not giving your contact the homework. You're doing the homework for them and you're just inviting them to, you know, just have a conversation. Because that is what nurturing your network is continuing the relationship, continuing the conversation. So to find your first or next paying client, go back to the network that you already have and see where you can nurture them to reignite that relationship. There is magic in those contacts that you already have accumulated. Even dust off the business cards that you collected way back when, you know, when we attended some event in person and people were still handing out physical business cards.
For sure. And the interesting thing about this is that some people know how to do this on a cold calling or a cold emailing basis using CRMs to schedule their follow-ups. But then when it comes to their own LinkedIn or their own network, they kind of, you know, don't even think about it. So do you suggest really approaching this almost like, again, like a pipeline, putting this information in your CRM and once in a while going in?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I don't want to plug my stuff, but I do have a free resource for your audience if they're interested.
Oh, and it's nurture ahead,
it's nurture your network without annoying your friends. And it's basically, I give you that 6 email, the templates, the 6 emails that I'm just suggesting, but it's a 5-step framework where it goes everything from collecting that list to the last step being have a spreadsheet. You know, if you don't have an actual CRM system, you can create one with Google Sheets or Excel, and it's a tracker of who it is that you're going to contact, when you send that first email, to the when you're going to follow up next, and maybe some notes. It is just, there's magic in it. It works. It doesn't work 100%, but you got to put in the work. Get through the no's to get to the yes.
For sure, 100%. I really, really enjoy this chat right now because part of what I do on Wednesdays is mainly sales. And I know that a lot of people are afraid of contacting new and cold leads. This is actually a perfect medium to get people started, get their feet wet. Listen, like all jobs and businesses, even consulting may have its dark sides. So is there a dark side to consulting? And if so, how do you prepare for it? What should you do?
So I would say there are two areas that come to mind when I think of the dark side of consulting. And this just comes from my own experience as well as what my clients have experienced. One of them is the mourning of letting go of the identity that you had in your corporate job and this new identity as a consultant, freelancer, business owner. Because even if you had, for myself, I had an executive position. So I had a lot of perks that came with that. While it was very demanding and I was overworked and overstressed, there was a lot of perks that came with that position. Mm-hmm. Part of that being having a team, a staff that would do what I told them to do. As a consultant or freelancer, answer, you show up and the client is the boss. And a lot of times they may or may not do what you're recommending, what you're suggesting, or what you're really pushing them to do to get the results. And so there's this period of time when you realize I am no longer in charge. I am sort of like the client is the boss. And there's the dark side of that is mourning, letting go. There's almost like a death of your old persona, your old identity, and a rebirth of the new one. And no one really tells you about that. You're going to go through that. You never know when it's going to hit you. It sometimes it hits you in the middle of a meeting with a client and you realize, and you start to question yourself. The doubts come in. Did I make a mistake? What have I done? Are you kidding me? You know, especially if it's a challenging client, right? And the other side is, and how you prepare for that is knowing, being aware that it's going to happen, and just to kind of go through, and when the doubts start creeping in, to just push them aside and know that it's part of the journey. It's a transition. Give yourself some grace and go through it and take a deep breath and keep going. Because again, you never know when it's going to hit you. And the second one is you're going to have, in a consulting, freelance, that kind of realm, you're going to have clients who pay you late. It doesn't matter if you have a contract. There's always going to be the late payment. The check is in the mail. You're like, but we have a direct deposit. You know, there's like PayPal, right?
We don't use checks here.
We don't use checks. You're like, what do you mean checks, right? But depending on the kind of client that you have, it's another corporation or a school, a nonprofit, you're going to run into that. And the way to prepare for that is to build up your cash reserve and know that it's going to happen. Cover yourself as much as possible with a contract, negotiate, be prepared to have the tough negotiation or call of the collection call, right? It's like, I'm going to stop service. I can't keep working, because a lot of new consultants or freelancers, business owners, they tend to keep working. They keep showing up, even though their client is now 60, 90, 120 days past due that initial invoice. Don't you set the boundaries. How you prepare for that is have your contract, be prepared to have the uncomfortable conversation or send the uncomfortable email. You're in business. You have a business to run. This is not charity. And you know, the freebie is a different kind of business model. It doesn't work. So that's part of the dark side, that if you prepare for it, it shouldn't be too bad.
Sure. I wanted to add one thing actually right now, because I was talking to one of my coaching clients not that long ago about late payments. And the more you wait to have that conversation, the worse it's going to get, because some people may even come back to you after 120 days and say, hey, I thought I paid that invoice. And then there's a whole new story of, you know, like, did you receive the check? And then, oh my gosh, absolutely.
Oh, you just brought back, like, we probably could have a quick list of all the excuses that we've heard, you know, of why the payment is late. Yeah. It's true.
Oh my gosh. Listen, how can consultants create a service-based business beyond the one-on-one model? Because I'm so big about, you know, scaling businesses and not trading time for money. So how can you make that happen as a consultant?
I love this question, because, you know, you and I both know there comes a point in our consulting business that you have, it's a fork in the road. You are maxed out, right? You don't have any more hours to take on those one-on-one clients, or you develop an agency kind of thing where you're now going to hire people to be an extension of you. And that's a whole different business model maybe than what you set out to do. In my case, and what I also work with my clients on, is you can still have, I personally didn't want to replace all of my consulting clients. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to have a different way to have recurring revenue or to be able to scale. And the way to scale is to teach one to many. What does that mean? You know, a lot of times we as consultants or freelancers, we show up with the client and we're doing the work, or we're doing the assessment and, you know, letting them know how to implement something. One to many could be where, which is what I did, is take something that I know and develop either a group program, a course, a mentorship, where I can then show up for many. So it's now a group setting where I can teach or even a workshop. That's how I started, by the way. I did workshops in person and I did workshops virtually. And so I could just, it was me teaching it once, but I had a lot of people show up at the same time paying a fee. Instead of the one-to-one model, now I started to come into scaling it by being able to teach the one thing or the class to many. And from the workshop or the master class, depending on who you're speaking to, it's the same thing. From there, you start thinking, how can I then take this to the next level? That's where you either develop a course or a program. The difference between a course and a program is that a course, it's like, do it at your own pace, just go through all the lessons, the worksheets, whatever it is, and you're on your own for the end result. Where a program, they have more access to you. Again, you're showing up for many. You're showing up to, like in a Zoom call setting, where you may be answering questions or delivering a lesson or just doing some, I like to do what I call critiques, you know, where we're seeing something, but everybody's learning from that one critique. So again, I could do that one-on-one, but I'm going to max out so quickly. Whereas if I do it one-to-many, I can now scale it to me teaching it to 10 people at a workshop, in-person workshop, or 100, or me teaching a course that can be sold over and over again to as many people as want to grab it. But it's already, I created once, right? I have a sales machine in the background, whatever that looks like. You know, we have a lot of different ways to sell that, but it's being delivered to whoever wants to buy it. Totally scalable. You're still taking the experience and the knowledge that you have in this thing, but you're now creating something once in order to deliver it to a lot of different people. So it's a little different model, but it works. That's how I've been able to scale it.
Wow.
I'm only one person, right?
For sure. 100%. Listen, there's a lot of consultants. And by the way, I also have a digital marketing agency. So I know both models. I have consulting and digital marketing agency. With the agency, I can definitely hire people and do the work for me in the background, Facebook and Google ads and all that great stuff. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to consulting and coaching as well, like people want to probably talk to me or at least know what I have to say, not someone else. So that the other route is exactly what I've been doing as well. But there's a lot of consultants nowadays. How can our listeners create an offer that's irresistible? And why is having a great offer so important nowadays to stand out?
I think, you know, we know there's a lot of noise out there. And some people may get discouraged, like, how am I going to stand out? How am I going to do this? I go back to saying, there are a lot of teachers. There are a lot of nurses. There are a lot of accountants. There are a lot of bankers. There are jobs for all those people. So there's definitely, you know, we can carve out our own little corner for our business as well. The way to stand out is we have to specialize. We have to go and speak to the people that are going to connect with us. I can say I'm an accountant for new business owners. That's so general, right? Or I could say, hey, I do accounting for salon owners, hair salon owners, very specific. Now, when I create my content or my offer and it's specific for that group, they're going to pay attention to me. They're going to perk up. Everybody else is going to ignore me, which is what I want, because I only want to attract that group of people that I want to be able to serve and take on a journey with me and get them results. So specializing is one of the ways that you need to stand out. Creating an offer for those people to get a transformation is yet another. Sometimes we wait until we can have the whole thing, you know, like our big signature offer, our big signature course or program. But if you can start by creating something small to get your people, that specific, we call it a niche, right? That specific group of people, get them a result, get them a transformation. They become such loyal fans of yours that you don't even have to like do much work except get their testimonials and talk about what you did for them, how you helped them, what their life looked like before and after. It could be as simple as creating a spreadsheet, an automated spreadsheet to track your contact client relationship management system. But if you get them, if you help them somewhere, for if you transform them somehow, that becomes such a great social proof for you that what you teach the system that you create, your framework, whatever you've developed to get somebody transformation, that it works. So I would say creating an irresistible offer doesn't have to be an all-inclusive, the end-all be-all, because it'll take you too long to do that. Yes. Create something small that you are an expert in, that you just light up when you talk about it. That could be anything from creating social media graphics or writing captions for the social media, or, you know, whipping out a 3-page website for a specific group of people. So it's a combination of being specific to who it is, yes, that you want to work with, that you can help and provide a transformation with, and creating a small bite offer that then is going to, that's the initial entry point into the customer journey. Because when you get that customer or client, student, you want to have them stay with you for as long as that you possibly can. It's that journey. And that journey starts with a small bite. That's what I usually recommend. What do you think, De Niro?
I absolutely agree 100%. I have a lot of the clients that, you know, I've been coaching, actually, they come to me and they tell me, you know, like, I want to have a digital marketing agency servicing everyone. And I'm like, wait a minute, do you think that if you say that to a specific niche, any niche, they'll think that it's for them? Definitely not. But if you slowly carve out your niche, and when people think that it's, you know, oversaturated, I would say niche down even more, because once you're going to be able, mm-hmm, to find, you can always find a blue ocean, right? Mm-hmm. With no competitors within something that may already seem a bit oversaturated. This conversation, exactly, has been bringing so much value. I wanted to ask you, Veronica, what are your future projects? What are you currently working on?
Thank you for asking, because I'm actually working on something that it's as a result of people asking. It is called, it's a 1-day intensive, and I'm calling it From Corporate to Consultant in a Day. And people always think, can you really do that in a day? Yes, there's pre-work, obviously. There's, yes, things that, course, you have to do beforehand. And then on the actual day, either they show up prepared, and we go through a 6 or 7 hour intensive of doing everything from identifying their ideal client to creating that first offer, pricing it, and coming up with a framework of how they're going to promote it and sell it. And one of those things is, like, again, we go back to, it doesn't have to be the biggest offer or the offer you're going to have forever. It's that starting point, because so many people that I've spoken to, they would say, I don't have time and I don't want to wait. The impatience comes in, right? Yeah. I don't want to wait 6-7 weeks for a one-on-one coaching program or a coaching call. I just want to, you know, what they want, all the pieces to the puzzle. They want all the pieces to the puzzle up front, and they want to see, like, how quickly can, there's a lot of action takers, fast action takers. I'm one of those. So yes. I said, you know, I've offered a lot of different things over the years, but I had never offered a 1-day intensive. And once I kind of came up with a framework and challenged myself, we're about 4 to 5 weeks away from finishing it up. So I have a wait list already, because I've been talking to a few people that are interested in it. And yes, that's exciting, because there are people that are just ready to get it done, knowing that it's a starting point. It's not going to be your consulting agency. It's kind of like, how do you become an independent consultant in a day?
Yes, for sure. Super, super, super cool. I can't wait to see when it comes out. And then I have you back on a podcast to talk about it even more.
I'd love to come back. Thank you.
No worries. Listen, I want to thank you again so much for being on the show today. I know my listeners would want to read more about what you do. And so where can people find you online?
My headquarters is my website, veronicasagastumi.com. And I know that's a hard name to spell, so I'm sure you'll have it in the show notes. And that's where I have a lot of different free resources that people can pick up, and, you know, make it available so that anybody who's looking to start a consulting business or become an independent consultant can grab them and get started. And if they're really, really wanting to have that transition, that life, just go grab it. I welcome it.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Veronica, again, and enjoy the rest of the day.
Thank you for having me. It's been great.
And this is it for today, CEOs. Thanks for staying with us until the end. Can I ask you a big favor? Can you please leave a review? I know the podcast app is not super straightforward, so if you don't know how to leave a review, just DM me on Instagram at DeNiroB. DeNiroB, and I will send you the direct link to the review section. And to show you my appreciation, I will answer any business question you ask me during that conversation. So thank you again, and I will talk to you again soon.